Today we are joined by founder and CEO of Tenbound, a renowned research and advisory firm dedicated to go-to-market B2B SaaS sales development. So he's a recognized expert in the field, and his extensive experience has made Tenbound the go-to hub for the sales development industry. Our guest recently released his first book, The Sales Development Framework, which has garnered high praises from industry professionals. We are excited to delve into the world of sales development today and uncover the secrets to building successful SDR teams and pipelines. So without further ado, let's dive right into the conversation. Our guest today is David Delaney. How are you, David?
Yeah, doing well. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm excited to talk all things sales with you. So probably the best place to start is the way we start all of our podcasts. Who are you and what problem do you solve?
Yeah. Well, the first question, that's a really good one. We could do the whole podcast, right? But problem-wise, I'm here in Silicon Valley, and a lot of startup companies are run by engineers. They're software engineers. They're brilliant engineers. And they don't necessarily come from a sales background or a go-to-market background as far as the process that they need to be able to sell their product. And so the problem that we solve is really, okay, I've got product market fit, and now how do I go to market with this and build a repeatable, scalable sales process, so that we can fill the pipeline and start to show results back to the investors. And so that's, you know, it's going on 7 years that we've been working on this. And, I came up through the tech industry as a sales professional and then an SDR and a sales manager, and just saw this need in the marketplace to understand how this works, and it's flown by actually.
Okay, so we like to, when we're selling, we really like to think of sort of the doctor analogy. So we might have the prescription, so you've got the prescription and you need to find the patients and work out whether they've got a headache or they've got a brain tumor. So for somebody that would be your perfect patient, they might be listening, what do they look like and what are the symptoms that they're presenting for you to say, you know what, we need to get you in my office right now and we need to get you some penicillin? What do those people look like?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few. On the advisory side, if it's a newer startup that's trying to figure out their go-to-market motion and really get a playbook in place to be able to scale, That would be, and especially if they've got some funding, that would be the perfect, solution that we could provide to those companies. And then on the individual level, we have just sort of a self-paced, self-moderated subscription product called Tenbound Plus, where they can get all the templates and frameworks and everything that we use with clients and just sort of do it themselves. So that would be a sales manager, SDR manager, or even an SDR could join Tenbound Plus. And then on the more the media side, if someone's trying to reach our audience and get in the conversation with the people that are interested in this, we offer basically an advertising product to sales technology companies where they can sponsor our events and podcasts and webinars and things like this.
Okay. And from your research and even your time in the trenches, if you will, it looks like SDRs in terms of the churn rate is on the kind of steady decline, typically staying, I think sometimes it's 18 months, sometimes it's 12 months. What should we be looking for in terms of SDRs that stick to a role and stay with us for the long term?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a bad reputation, kind of. I think the role itself is sort of a bus stop on the way to something bigger and better. And it's such a critical role at a company, especially when you're starting out, that I would look at it as creating a career progression for people and really making it something where we want to invest in you. We want you to be successful, and we're going to create a longer lifespan than, you know, 12 or 18 months at the company, and really make it almost like it's a training program for getting into sales or marketing or customer success at the company, versus just, you know, hiring somebody to make phone calls, which is how a lot of companies look at it.
So it sounds like perhaps it's more of a company issue than an SDR issue in terms of the where do you start, where do you see yourself in the future, how do we get you there? So maybe a bit of false advertising from some of the companies out there, or am I misunderstanding?
Yeah, I mean, I think people, like, it's sort of known as an entry-level position where you can get your foot in the door of the tech industry, and then you can go to these offices and play foosball and drink cold brew, and like, it looks fun and exciting and stuff like that. And especially when you're coming out of college with no idea what you want to do, you know, and you're just sort of have a vague idea that you want to get into the tech industry, you know, it attracts people that are still trying to figure out what they're trying to do with their lives. And so they get into the position and they're just like, this sucks. You know, this is like the worst job at the company, basically. And so I think on the part of the people that are applying for SDR jobs, you gotta really take a hard look at what you're actually going to be doing. Because if you've never sold anything, you're not particularly extroverted. You don't, you know, aren't out, you know, trying to talk to people all the time. You don't like doing research and digging through information to try to find data to be able to use in your outreach. I mean, you're going to be miserable and you're going to quit, you know, or get fired, you know, in under a year. So, you know, you got to kind of self-regulate you really have to understand what the job is.
It's a very interesting, sorry to stick on it, but it's a very interesting kind of topic you bring up, because obviously if you're dealing with engineers or software engineers that haven't really trained or never worked in sales, and then so where does the responsibility lie? Is it on the SDR to do the research? Or if I was an SDR going into a company and there wasn't a sales leader there to guide me and it was all on me, surely the onus would be on the leader, and if they've not got a sales background, or is that where you come in and you say, hold on, it doesn't matter, we can fix this problem?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, yes, the ultimate responsibility comes down to the leader, right? Because they're the ones that are trying to build pipeline and grow sales at the company. And that's why they hired the SDR. So it does come down to them. You can't just throw the job to a 22-year-old person who just graduated from college and say, figure it out, you know, because it's sink or swim. They might be able to if they're an all-star and they're you know, curious. You can self-educate on the web right now with YouTube and blogs like 10bound, you know, and get all the frameworks and everything. Actually, they should join 10bound Plus, because then they get all the goodies and stuff. But you can self-educate to the point. So if you can hire somebody who can figure out the motion and write the playbook and make the calls and get the meetings and do everything, I mean, that's a rock star. But 99% of the people out there would be sitting there going, I don't have a playbook. I don't have any skills. I don't have any guidance from the leader. And you're setting me up to fail here. You know, and that's what you see more often.
Okay. And most of the time, sometimes it is 360, but most of the time an SDR isn't responsible for closing the deal and the whole kind of pipeline. So it's responsible for the first part. So what would, from your industry knowledge and all the SDRs you've worked with and seen, what is an SDR responsible for? What should they be doing? What are they responsible for?
Yeah. So on the most basic scale, if you have inbound leads, then they should be routed to the SDR in most cases, unless it's a red hot lead. You know, give them the medium leads and the cold leads and have them make sure that there's someone following up on everything that's coming in, because that's going to be the lowest hanging fruit. It's people that actually know about you and know about your brand and have some basic interest. And then once that runs out, then they have to go outbound. And so like a day in the life would be finding the right companies that are potentially ideal customer profile for your product, and then finding the people that work there that are the ideal persona for your product, and finding their contact information and reaching out to them either through the phone or through the email or over social or et cetera, and reaching out to them with a message. And then, you know, only about 5% of your outbound is going to convert. So it's a huge amount of volume at the top of the funnel that has to take place in order for you to get even a 5% return. Now, you know, you guys probably can get a better return from that, but this is just the sort of industry average of outbound. It takes a lot of volume and a lot of work to get, you know, just one meeting. And so that's, you know, really what they need to be focused on. And as the manager or the business owner, it's your job to be able to empower them to have, you know, a database of people to call and have knowledge about the ideal customer profile and the persona that they're going after, and have some basic tools to be able to reach out to people on a daily basis.
I remember my first ever job as an SDR, they slammed a big catalog of numbers and said, you can start at the front or the back, you work it out. And that was 15 years ago. So if we were to go back then, David, so it's my first day as an SDR and you're able to slide a little envelope over the table and it's filled with the biggest challenges that I'm going to face in my career as an SDR. What are some of the things that are going to be in that envelope?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say an envelope of cash.
I'd love that.
Would help.
I'd love that. Quit now.
That's perfect. Yeah, I mean, so there's a lot of challenges. So one is just staying motivated and excited about the job for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, you know, with the volume of activity and the amount of rejection that you have to face on a daily basis, or just even worse. I mean, now over the last few months in the tech industry, it's just having no response at all. And just the utter silence from the marketplace and being able to push through that. So, you know, staying motivated and staying healthy, you know, mentally in something that's a really, really hard job is thing number one. And then I think thing number two is looking at it from a long-term perspective and trying to learn and be curious about the industry that you're calling into and the vocabulary of the sales reps or the founder at the company and how they talk about how they solve the problems for the industry, and just becoming interested in that, even if it's a job that you kind of fell into. The more that you can learn and use the time as an SDR to become educated in the industry and the vocabulary and the problems, you can use all that if you get promoted to become a full cycle sales rep or, you know, anywhere else in the company. So just keeping that curiosity over the long term.
So I think we're going to have our first disagreement here, David, but this is what makes podcasts go well, right?
I've been waiting for you, man.
So we're an outsourced SDR company, effectively, right? So we work with lots of different clients in lots of different sectors. We do little to no research on anyone that we're calling. Why are we wrong?
Yeah, I mean, as an outsourced company, it's going to be different, right? Because you have a basket of clients. You're calling into 20 different industries every day. So you wouldn't want your reps to be learning a lot about that particular industry unless you're hyper niched. And some of the best outsourced companies that are out there, they only call, you know, doctor offices or dental offices or MSPs, or, you know, they're hyper niched in that area. And then their SDRs are actually super highly knowledgeable about that particular industry because they're so niched. So in a situation like if you've got a lot of different industries that you're calling on, then the more the training becomes, can they handle a cold call? And can they handle writing an email? And can they handle reaching out to people on social in a way that's applicable to all the different industries that they're calling? And they're really, really good at the technical aspects of being an SDR, which is probably where you guys spend most of your time.
Yeah, exactly. More understanding what makes CEOs tick. Things like that. I thought you were going to disagree with me more on that.
Well, I'm from California, right? So we're agreeable to the point where we don't like conflict. That's not everybody, but just me. I look at it like I call it like the SDR trifecta, which is if you think of a Venn diagram with a middle section of three circles. So one is the technical skills of an SDR, like being amazing at making cold calls and emails and all that, the communication skills. And then the other one is staying motivated over the long haul and staying interested in the job. The other one is the industry aspect and becoming fluent in the industry that you're calling on so that you can leverage that later in your career. That part would be, it's good for if someone wants to stay at a company for 2, 3, 4, 5 years and really become an expert in that industry. But if they're working at an outsourced SDR agency, you know, that's not as important really.
Okay. And a question we get both asked a lot, I'm not as good at answering it, to be honest with you. Jack's much better than me at answering it, but it's all around mindset. What's the mindset I need to have? Are there any hacks in mindset, ways I need to be thinking to actually do the job? Can you shed any light on what you would say if you were asked a similar set of questions?
I mean, so I would be really honest with yourself, and it's a lot of it about self-awareness and really asking yourself, do you know what you're getting into? And you know, before you take the job, it's understanding how entrepreneurial are you and how gritty are you and curious? And can you take a lot of rejection without getting bummed out and having it ruin your whole day and keep moving forward? Are you really that type of person, deep down inside? And if you can honestly answer yes to a lot of those questions, or you can take some pre-employment screening or something like that, or talk to a therapist, I don't know, and figure out that that's you, then you're going to do great as an SDR and a sales rep, and you're going to be super successful. But if you can honestly look at yourself and you're like, you know what, I'm a little bit shy. I like to be alone. I don't really like talking to people. And the slightest, you know, bump in the road puts me on the couch with a bag of popcorn for the rest of the day. You're going to be miserable as an SDR and as a sales rep. So I think you really got to look at it before you. And if someone's listening to this and you're like, I am an SDR and I'm failing, it might just not be the right fit for you. So it's something to think about.
You make a very interesting point, because I don't know if, especially when we're interviewing people, when we're saying like, you will be rejected maybe hundreds of times on a daily basis. So over the space of a month, you'll be rejected thousands of times. Is that something that you can deal with? And the examples that you typically get of why you would be good with rejection aren't strong enough. So I don't know if, like you said there, it's a really interesting one. Me and Zach talk a lot about like having that relationship with validation and rejection. So really, you probably should reach out to a therapist and work out if you are in a good enough place to handle lots of rejection. And you said something earlier, David, that I just want to kind of come back to, because it does tie into the mindset piece. So it was like, you said something like, do you have the motivation to last the first couple of months or whatever? We're really big, and we really get into a bit of a debate about motivation via discipline, because motivation won't last forever. We know that. Like, it gets to the point where eventually the motivation battery will be running low. So what do you do in those situations? Motivation will get you maybe to probation your first 2-3 months. When you're in a role 2-3 years, what can you do past that motivation to still, I guess, remain motivated but without the motivation? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few things. I mean, the usual answer is if you have a good process and your day is sort of laid out in a smart way, you don't necessarily need to be motivated. You just follow along the process and stick with the process and trust it and know that it's going to work and actually do it. You know, there's if there's a plate of broccoli and a hamburger in front of you, you can get motivated all day, but if you just keep eating the hamburgers, your health is not going to be good. So you got to trust the process and stick to it, and trust it more than your motivation. And then, you know, there's an analogy. There's a guy named Daniel Priestley. I don't know if you guys know about him. He's over in the UK. He's really good. He's one of my favorite business guys. And he gives an analogy where if you're driving an old Opel, you know, that's falling apart, and you're pushing it as hard as it can, it's only going to go 60 kilometers an hour or whatever, and no matter how motivated you are. But you can be completely unmotivated in a Ferrari and go 120 miles an hour. And it really, at that point, comes down to the vehicle, the product, and the process that you have. And really, motivation is not even a factor at that point. So, you know, if your product sucks, your company sucks, your manager sucks, and you really hate the job, you're not going to be motivated very long.
I thought that was a very well put together answer. Thank you, David. Okay, so we train SDRs. They come into us. We typically hire people with no experience. Some people think we're crazy to start from scratch, and some people understand that if we were to hire somebody with 10 years experience as an SDR, they typically have the same 10 years, the same 1 year 10 times. So we like to start with blank canvases and find people so we can kind of, they've not got any bad habits and things like that. So say somebody was coming into us and we wanted to make them killer SDRs, where should we start? What's important? How do we create the best possible SDR? What skills do they need?
Yeah, and it's a great place to start. The first recommendation is that hiring is your most important job, and finding the right people. And it's so basic and trite kind of to say that, but it really is, because you're going to make or break the company based on who you hire. So I really take that process seriously and make sure that you're focused on getting the best possible recruits in the door, and if it's not a hell yes, then it's a no. So the old saying is hire slowly and then fire fast, which is not nice at all, but it's so true. So the couple of things to think about is putting rejection into the hiring process. So there's a guy named Chet Holmes who wrote the Sales Machine, and there's a process that he used to use where people would call and they'd start having an interview, and he would get about halfway through and just tell them, look, I don't think that this is going to work. I'm not really hearing a player here on the call. And then just shut up and let them address that and see what they do. You can save yourself a lot of time, because if they just sort of fold up and go home, then you know that wasn't a really good fit. But if they start coming back and pushing back on you and trying to convince you to continue the call, this will be a little secret. See if people actually listen to this podcast before they call you for the interview. The other one to think about is pre-employment screenings. And there's a lot of companies that do this. Some are good, some are not great, but I always highly recommend people do pre-employment screenings, just online, you know, pre-employment exams before they even talk to the person that they're thinking about hiring, and make sure that it's very indexed toward the innate abilities that people need to be good SDRs. So some of the things that we've been talking about are really important. So I would highly recommend using those.
The answer was really, really good, David. Me and Zach, I could see his big smile there because I think that's what you mentioned there. I feel like that might be a new... We do a phone interview anyway, like to hear what the tonality is like. I do like that, and I feel like you might have just found the missing piece from our hiring process. That was brilliant. Okay, so it sounds like a lot of the things that you said that are important when first training up or hiring an SDR, it sounds like it's all about mindset and resilience. So do you think that if you find the right person with the right mindset and the right resilience when it comes to rejection, do you think that if they have those boxes ticked, they have what it takes to be a good SDR? And if not, what else do they need to tick?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good start. And the other one is curiosity and you know, being actually interested in how do I get better at the job, it, you know, so that it's a lot easier to hold somebody back than to try to push them off the couch, you know, and you know, they need to be coming to you and asking questions and figuring out what the resources are and how they can get better and improve their own game while they're there. And so, you know, that curiosity and hunger, it's hard to like teach that in somebody. They either have it or they don't. And definitely if there's somebody like that, even if they're some of the best salespeople out there are really annoying to their boss and to their manager and to the owner of the company because they keep calling and emailing and asking questions and probing and poking and trying to find, you know, the weak spots in the marketing plan and stuff like that. And it's a pain in the neck, but they're the top performing salesperson because they're pushing forward to try to improve. So yeah, again, like it's what you guys are doing is so hard because it's such a competitive industry. And I'm talking about the ideal person that you would want working there at your company. And it's like 1% of the total applicant pool that's coming inbound to work there. So it's really hard to find these people. But if you can find them, you know, they could take the company to the next level and, you know, potentially be a, you know, a business partner for you at some point. So
very timely. We're going through a bit of a recruitment drive at the minute and having some headaches. We've got tougher with it, and as we've got tougher and it's got a bit slower, people don't make it as far as they once did when we started out. But yeah, you're talking our language.
It's so hard. It's so hard. I mean, you can't run, like, especially if you get a campaign, you can't run the campaign if you don't have the SDRs. Right. And so, and you don't want to just plug in anybody who comes in. You have to be choosy in recruiting and finding the right people. It's hard, man. I mean, you're in a very hard business in a lot of ways, but anyways, we could talk about that on the next podcast.
you feel our pain. That's all we need to hear. One thing that we often see is, SDRs getting promoted to senior positions and perhaps over-promoted a bit too soon. What's the correlation between I'm an SDR and I've got a sales skill set to now I'm a team leader? To us, they feel like two different things. Being a good salesperson doesn't mean you're going to be a good team leader. But from the work you've done, does that natural progression typically work out well? And are there steps that need to be implemented to make sure it does go positively?
Yeah, I mean, so there's two paths there. One is going from SDR to a full cycle sales rep, and then one is going from an SDR to like a team leader or a manager. And so those promotion paths are really, really different. And I think with the going from an SDR to a sales rep, it's important not to just like throw them in the deep end of the pool and give them a quota. I just recommend that companies give them some small deals and some, you know, lower end deals that they can run and potentially close themselves while they're still doing the SDR job, and evolving them in based on the performance that they're displaying with the sales job that they're doing. As opposed to what most companies do is just like, you're an SDR, now you're an AE, here's your quota, you have 3 months to either make it or break it, and then, you know, it ends up going sideways. So I would just evolve them into that and make sure that they're the right fit to be a full cycle sales rep. So going from an SDR to a team lead, it's they don't even necessarily have to be the best SDR. They're just really good with people and teaching, and they enjoy the coaching process. That's where you really get the most value from an SDR manager, is being able to build trust with the team and have the team get better as a whole from working with this person. And so if they're just wanting to get out of the SDR job and get into something else, and they think that manager sounds cooler than being an SDR, that's not going to work, because they'll just sit there looking at the reports and, you know, tweaking spreadsheets all day. And not what they need to be doing is really working one-to-one with people on mock calls, reading their emails, like making the team better. And so if they have to love that teaching and coaching aspect, and they'll be successful in that route.
And then what about from if you've been an SDR, you know, you've been playing the game of motivating yourself and putting the habits in place, and then suddenly now you've got the role of, you've got to motivate a team in front of you. What's the role of the team leader in terms of motivating the individual or motivating the team? How does that relationship typically work the best?
Yeah, I mean, go Amazon, buy my book. That's what the book's about, the sales development framework. That's one of the things. Shameless plug. So, you know, you're essentially going from an individual contributor to a manager, and so they become responsible for the whole number of the team. And one of the first things that they do is they go, oh my God, I'm never going to make another cold call again. Thank God, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. Wrong. That's totally wrong. The team has to see you making the calls, writing the emails, running calls, doing the actual job, and watch you side by side doing it, and doing it a lot better than they can. And so then they know that you're legitimate, and they start to trust you. And then now you can have the ability to give them tips and training and coaching, because they actually are open to hearing that. If they think that you're just in a ivory tower and theoretical about everything, they lose trust, and then eventually they're just like back to doing whatever they were doing before you became the manager. So.
Okay. I wasn't going to ask this, but I think because of where the conversation's going, it wasn't written down, but I want to kind of get your thoughts on it anyway. Cold calling, an SDR is coming in to cold call. Obviously, that's probably where you're going to get the height of the rejection. For somebody that's just starting out cold calling, we're big on it, and it's kind of one of the things that we love the most when it comes to selling. What do you need to do to be good at cold calling, or what skills do you need, or what is the thing that you should master the most?
I mean, thing number one is just do it. I think it's like somebody said that you can be a writer your whole life without actually writing anything. I think it was William Blake. But cold calling is one of those things where people are talking about it all the time, and they're nervous about it, and they don't want to do it and stuff like that, and they just end up not doing it. So thing number one is just pick up the phone or click the computer, start calling people. Like whenever you're in doubt of anything and you don't know what to do next, pick up the phone and call somebody. Just call anybody. So then the second thing is, you only have like 3 to 5 seconds at the beginning of the cold call before you're toast, you're dead. So you've got to make that first connection. And especially if you're using like a segmented dialer where there's a pause at the beginning of the call and it's making a connection, because you already lost like 2 to 3 seconds of the attention of the person who picked up. So you got to be extremely good in the first 5 seconds and relaxed, confident, have a pitch ready to go when the person asks, and like set the stage for the next 5 seconds.
So we our go-to pattern interrupt or opener might be something like, David, I'll be honest, it's a sales call. I'm sure you get hundreds of these. You can hang up or let me have 30 seconds, something like that. What would be your go-to opener or pattern interrupt if you were cold calling tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a good one. I like the honest approach. What I would say is you look at it more of an information gathering call, and you just call them up and say, "I'm doing a quick survey. Can I grab, just 2 or 3 seconds of your time to ask you a couple of quick questions?" You're going to get hung up on a lot, but sometimes people are more open to doing a survey or just giving some quick information versus thinking that you're actually coming in and trying to sell them something. So I always lead with, "I just want to ask you a few quick questions to follow up on this survey that I'm doing."
Okay. And then when you get into it later on and you say, "Well, look, why don't you sit down with my AE and we'll try and sell you a big piece of software,"
Yeah.
what relation, how have you found that moving on down the line? Because obviously we find if you're honest from the start, there's no shock. If you get to that
Yeah.
point where someone might say, "Well, you were doing a survey a minute ago and now you're asking for my credit card details," do you ever run into that, or by that point do people kind of forget about it and move on?
Yeah, I mean, so you can look at it that based on the information that I have, I think it would warrant another call to dig in on this. And I'd like to connect you with an expert on my team so that we can dig in a little bit more and see if we could potentially help. And if it's like a one call close, big ticket item where you have to get their credit card out, that would be a little bit weird. I think I would just go in with what you were saying. And just, "Hey, this is a sales call, and I noticed that you had downloaded some information about our product, and I wanted to talk to you about how to get started." Because it's like if you're asking them to take their credit card out, it's a sales call.
So, David, we're running out of time, but I didn't want to end without talking about your book. So, going back to the start, if I'm someone who is a good customer of yours in terms of buying your book, what do I look like? What problems do I need to be experiencing? Why should I be reading your book?
Yeah, so if you're running a sales development team or you're running a layer of managers who are running a sales development team, even if you're an SDR and you're thinking about getting into the team lead or the management role, it just gives you a step-by-step framework to be able to do that at least that first like 90 days of the job and really set yourself up for success from a foundational level in running one of these teams. So, in a perfect world, every SDR in the world, every SDR manager, and every director would buy the book today. That would be the perfect situation. And that's what I highly recommend.
Okay, and then they're saying that sounds great. Where do I find it?
Well, unfortunately, Amazon. I mean, it's a love-hate relationship. But Amazon.com is the best way, or just go to 10bound, the website. You can get the first chapter for free. You just got to give me your email address. I'll call you, and we'll do a survey after.
Perfect. Right. Well, we'll put a link in the bio to anyone who wants to find the book. Highly, highly recommend it. This has been a great chat. I think we've learned a lot. I might have to change our whole recruitment process based on some of the points that you've brought up here. And just wanted to thank you for spending the time with us. Thank you so much. And I think people are going to get a lot out of this.
Thank you, David.
Appreciate it.